Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Lighthouse for the Blind and our workshop on accessible cellular phone technology for people who are blind and visually impaired. We'd like to welcome those of you who are here with us in person in San Francisco, those of you who have joined us by conference call, and those of you who are listening to us via streaming over our website and the internet. We know how important this topic is by the large number of responses that we got for today's workshop, so we're going to get right into it. And I'm going to start by introducing the person who's been at the taking the lead role in putting all this together, Jesse Lorenz, who's the head of our Vision Loss Resource Center.
Hi, welcome to everyone. What a great turnout. Welcome to those of you on the phone. Welcome to those of you joining us on our live stream, and welcome to those of you who are here with us today in person. This is the first in what we hope to be a series of tech workshops here at the Lighthouse. Our newest program, the Vision Loss Resource Center, started up late last year. The Vision Loss Resource Center fields calls throughout all of California on a toll-free number. Well, it didn't take us long to notice that one of our most common questions was about accessible cellular technology and how blind and visually impaired folks can use it. So that's partially why we put this event together. Came from questions from blind and visually impaired folks asking how they can access their cell phones. Many technology experts say that the era of the PC is over and that the future is in handheld technology. How can blind and visually impaired individuals access this technology and not be left behind? The purpose of today's seminar is to provide information about cellular technology and how it can be used by people who are blind and low vision. Cell phones are being used to organize people's lives, to download music, to watch TV, to browse the internet, to send, receive email and text messages, and, I forgot to make telephone calls. There are lots of options out there. There are cell phones that work for folks who are blind or low vision right out of the box. And there are phones that require the user to install software like screen magnification or screen reader software on them in order for them to be accessible. Our goal here today is to give you, the user, information so that you can choose the best type of phone for you. I'm now going to introduce Beth Bjornson, who's the Vision Loss Resource Center assistant. Many of you have spoken to her. And she's going to read today's agenda and also read you some ground rules that we'd like folks to follow today.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone who came out via on the phone, via our website. This is really exciting. Let me tell you what's going to go on today. Between 2:10 and 2:45, there will be panel discussion number one, and that is going to be the Jitterbug, LG, and Oasis phones. And your moderator for that is going to be Ayaka Ozono. The speakers are going to be Vita Zabali, who is a user of a Verizon LG phone. And you're going to help me with this name, and I apologize in advance.
Janina Saika.
Janina Saika? Thank you. Thank you. And that is from Capital Accessibility.
There you go.
And then there's Lauren Essex, who's here to talk about the Jitterbug. She is from Great Call. At 2:45 through 3:15 is panel number two, which is going to be talking about installing screen readers in screen magnification software to your cell phone. And this will be moderated by Anita Aaron. And you notice that I did get that name right. The panelists are going to be Peter Contesanti, who works with RL and Associates, Jesse Lorenz from the Lighthouse, and she is also a user of a Mobile Speak smartphone, and Zita Zabali, American Foundation for the Blind. And at 3:15 to 3:45, our last panel, which is going to be pocket PC phones, and that's going to be moderated by Jesse Lorenz. The panelists are going to be Peter Condisani with RNL Associates, Chris Piper with Sensory Access Foundation, Mark Stimson with Access Ingenuity. Following the panel presentations, folks here in person are invited to visit one-on-one with panelists. We've asked them to stay here until 5. In addition, we will have representatives from Verizon, Sprint, Singular, and T-Mobile. They will be here after 3:30 to speak with you and to show you the different phones that work with screen magnification and screen reader software. I just want to go through some general rules, and these mostly apply to here in the building and also on the phone. So I'm going to go through the first ground rule. We have a rather tight agenda today, and we want to get through it all. Therefore, we will not be taking questions from the audience. Many of you submitted questions ahead of time, and they have been incorporated into our panel presentations. Please be respectful of our moderators and presenters by not interrupting or talking during the panels. Those of you here in person will have an opportunity after the panels have finished to speak with our panelists one-on-one.
Thanks very much, Beth. And without further ado, we're going to move right into our first panel presentation, which is going to be moderated by Ayaka Osomo.
Okay, hello. Hi, my name is Ayaka Osomo. Some of you probably recognize my voice through AIS Radio. I work here at the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco and Access to Information Services. So we're going to start with the first panel here. First one is, as you remember, Jitterbug's LG and Oasis phone. And the first person I would like to introduce is Vita Zavoli. And she's a user of LG phone with Verizon. And I'm just going to go ahead and introduce two more people here. And this is the other name, Yunina. Did I say that right?
Very close.
Maybe you can correct me.
Yanina. You got it.
Yanina. Saika?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Okay. I'm impressed.
Yeah, very good. Okay, capital accessibility. And be about Oasis phone. And the last person here is Roland Essex.
Right. You got that right.
Is that right, right? I'm used to getting my name butchered, so you know, try to be really good at it. And she is from Great Call, which is this Jitterbug. Okay, so why don't you talk about the main accessibility feature of the phone? Start with Vita.
Hi. It's important that to note here that I'm a user and not a Verizon rep, so this comes from my own experiences. The LG 4650 phone, which I am currently using, has now been replaced by the LG VX 5300 and 8300, and I happen to like the 5300 because it's just a smaller phone physically, but all of the voice software commands are the same. So the voice command feature allows the user to hear spoken prompts and to respond by voice, sort of like voice recognition. Or you can use the phone's keypad to enter the commands. You do not need to train the phone to recognize your voice. It seems to understand commands from different people, even in fairly noisy environments. It is a clamshell style phone with a flip top, and it weighs approximately 3.5 ounces, small, very compact. It has both an inside and outside display. Okay. The phone has a standard keypad with two dots on the number 5 button, and several buttons above, including a scroll button with dots on up, down, left, and right arrows, which I happen to really like. There are also two buttons on, two on the outside of the phone for volume and voice command, and one on the other side of the phone for a speaker, and it happens to have a very clear and good-sized speaker. The accessible features include call someone, which allows you to speak the name of the contact to call. Caller ID announces the number of voicemails. Battery status, signal strength, and whether you are roaming. Creating, reading, and deleting contacts. Voicing the telephone numbers of your missed calls. T- time and date, service alerts, which includes how many missed calls, how many voicemails, and how many text messages. Digit dial, which allows the user to speak the phone number to dial. Driving mode, which is hands-free, and allows you to speak the commands via the speakerphone. Is that it?
Anything else? Okay, we can move on to you, Nina.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for the invitation to be here. I'm very delighted always to be back in San Francisco. It still feels a little bit like home, even though it's been a long time. I am here from my company that I started with a partner. We call ourselves Capital Accessibility. And among the things we do, the primary thing we do is import this phone called the Oasis 22C. It's made in Spain. I think it's the first phone that was designed from the ground up to be for people who are blind. This is not a low vision phone because it's a screenless phone. And so we talk about it on our website is screenlessphone.com. A little easy to remember, and that's the idea. What do we get for not having a screen on this phone that was designed from the ground up to be accessible? Well, we get, I think, the best buttons you're going to find on any phone. From a blind person's perspective, these buttons are easy to use, easy to identify. In fact, I'm sitting here holding it in my hand very much like I use it when I'm out in the world and I've got a briefcase on my shoulder, I have my purse, I might have picked up the milk or whatever, and I need to make a phone call. So I kind of have it cradled in my hand, and I just use my thumb to dial. And I don't make mistakes because the buttons are so wonderful and easy to find. They include, of course, the 12 keys that you would expect, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, star, pound. The 5 has a nib on it, and it's also slightly different shaped. It's an oval shape that helps in finding it. The phone is a basic phone. It does not do email. It does not play television, but it does give you a phone book with 250 names, 3 phone numbers per name, easy to dial from the phone book. It tells you who's calling, not out loud, because the designers of this phone, bless them for thinking this way, I like this anyway, think that who's calling you is your business and not the business of everybody else in the room that might be there to hear it. And that is, of course, helpful because sometimes if you're in a meeting, you can put the phone into silent mode, and instead of ringing, it just kind of buzzes in your pocket or, you know, wherever you happen to have it, and you can quickly find out, is it somebody I want to step out in the hall and talk to. Sometimes you want to do that, and sometimes you just want to hit the end key and send them to voicemail.